Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He heads up Novo Resources and is involved also with some other companies that we cover, Irving being one here in this show. And I'm really, really glad to have Quentin back with me. Thanks for joining me today, Quentin.
Thank you, Jay.
Now, I understand you may have some news. You may have something to tell our listeners. That's something, perhaps some news that you just released. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, it's a fairly important news item this time. And I'm really happy that we can that I can actually discuss it on your show first. I think this is an appropriate setting. I can think back to the first time we discussed Novo back, I think, in 2012 or 2013.
Yeah,
in the coffee shop outside of PDAC. I think we both remember.
That's right.
Well, so look, we've done the hard yards. We've done a lot of work to get Novo through many stages of exploration, in particular our Beaton's Creek project, which is now the most advanced project by far we've got ready for production. All right, so the key for us, ability to process a rock. Okay, it's one thing to have rock with gold in it. It's another thing to have a big chemical plant, if you will, a mill, that you can put the rock in and extract gold and make gold bars. Today, we're very proud to announce that we have struck a deal with a neighboring company. The company is a privately held entity called Millennium Minerals. It was held or is held by IMC Holdings out of Singapore. We announced an acquisition of the asset actually just a few minutes ago. We've been in trading halt all day today. It took a while for folks to review the release and materials that we submitted. But the news is out now. People can go and check it out. They can read the details. The acquisition is pretty straightforward. Are you trying to call me again? It looks like you're trying to call me twice. That's strange. Anyway, must be something to do with Skype today.
I'm sure.
Anyway, look, it's pretty straightforward acquisition. We are, you know, paying in cash and shares. The total value is around $90 million US, and you know, funny enough, that's about what the mill facility was built for back in 2012. So almost dollar for dollar. So basically, we're buying a mill facility. It's in good shape. There are a few modifications we'll have to make, but by and large, this thing is ideally suited, you know, in terms of size, the metallurgy, so forth, for what we want to accomplish, and that's processing our Beaton's Creek material. The acquisition should close, say, in about a month's time. The other aspect of this is financing. Okay, we've struck we're pursuing two avenues of finance simultaneously. We've got a lending arrangement with Sprott Lending. This was struck here very recently. It's effectively a $60 million credit facility that comes in two tranches. First tranche is $35 million US, which is roughly, we'll call it about 48 million Australian or thereabouts. And then the second tranche is for $25 million US. So a total of 60 once again. Very good terms on that. The details are in the news release. I won't take time right now. It's a good piece of paper that allows us to get a lot of the cash we need to get this thing launched. The other thing we're doing is pursuing an equity raise on the back of this, a modest equity raise. We're targeting 30 million Canadian. That money is largely going to be needed for capitalizing things over the next few months. We do have, you know, some work to do. You know, mining isn't just a matter of rocking up with some equipment and starting to dig a hole in the ground. We do have to make some plans, preparations, a few modifications here and there. We also have to now take the permits we have for the Beaton's Creek project and meld them and get the full permits to bolt the whole thing together. So there is, we'll call it yardage left that we have to tackle here, but it's pretty straightforward. You know, one of the beautiful things about Western Australia right now is that they are focused like a laser on maintaining their mining industry. You know, they made it a top mandate to bolster the economy, to keep mines open. So their iron ore mines are open, gold mining's in business, they're making every effort to make sure mines, especially like what we're talking about, get into production and provide jobs. All right, so we're in a very good environment. Now, let's step back and look at this real quick. This is an interesting situation. We are an exploration company making what I would call a quantum leap into production. There's a lot involved here. Okay, first of all, you need a team. We have an excellent team in Perth. Rob Humphreyson, our CEO, has brought on additional people over the past few years, past couple of months even, such as Chris Martin, who's going to be the general manager of the operation. All of the folks we have are seasoned in their occupation. You know, this includes engineers, environmental scientists, and, you know, native title specialists, so forth. So, you know, of course, geologists for the exploration. These are all the things we need to become a producing company. So we can make that quantum leap now. We have the team in hand. And I can't thank everyone enough, especially Ronan Saville-Walsh, our CFO, who's worked tirelessly to get this transaction done. It's just been amazing. It has been a challenge, you know, 3 months of negotiating and a lot of late nights, I'll say. You know, given coronavirus, no ability to travel, but we pulled it off. So it's a remarkable feat. We got a great team, and we're ready in that regard. Now, there's other things you need. Okay, we've got the deposit, no problem. But what do we need? We need good commodity price. We are hitting this just right, okay? today, you know, look at the gold price. We crossed that $2,000 mark. My gosh, you know, I don't think I couldn't have ever dreamed of timing it better than we have right now. I remember back in 2015 during the dark days of gold mining when I think gold was hovering around $275 an ounce. And I thought, my gosh, I got to get Beaton's Creek into production somehow. That's how we're going to survive. And then one morning I woke up and I realized, you're an idiot. If you get Beaton's Creek into production right now, you're going to be selling gold for $1,275 an ounce. That's stupid. We all know that gold's worth a heck of a lot more than that. All right, so I kind of stepped back and considered the bigger picture, the overall trajectory. You know, a number of things happened, too, that you know, were kind of pivotal with the discovery out of Karratha and so forth and Edgeness since then.
Right.
But it was, you know, it just did not feel like the right time to push pell-mell to take Beaton's Creek to production. Over the past year or two, you know, we could see this, you know, this kind of culmination of gold price and other events coming to fruition, and it just felt more and more like the time to bring everything together and make it go. It's not that we weren't doing it, and don't get me wrong. In fact, what we have been doing is laying a lot of groundwork here. Okay, so Beaton's Creek, you know, we sought permits. We got their native title agreements done. These are big accomplishments. We did this all in the background without hardly anybody even noticing. Okay, we got this puppy ready for the dance without hardly anybody aware. Okay, we've got a solid source. We've got, you know, even internally, we've built a lot of, you know, models and stuff to understand the deposit and how we might approach it. Now we can exercise these things. We can start putting together a solid plan to take this thing into production. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just quickly ask you, can you talk at all about, I know you've done some work on the economics at Eaton's Creek before, at least internally. I don't know to what extent you might be able to talk about that publicly, and then if you could possibly just, maybe you were about to do that anyway, talk about how the other projects might fit into what you just did with this mill, or the acquisition of this mill.
Okay, yes, certainly. That is exactly what I would like to talk about. So, first of all, Beaton's Creek. Look, we're smart. We've done a lot of work inside the company around what the Beaton's Creek production story might look like. Now that we have access to this mill, we can actually formalize it. So over the, you know, we'll be looking at how we can tell the story better, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, I can't conjecture about, you know, particular dollar amounts, but just to say that we will optimize margins as much as possible. Okay, we see a lot of opportunity here. We think this could yield a very high margin deposit. So we will work, we'll endeavor to deliver high margin and also as quickly and efficiently as possible, you know, obviously for as little capital as possible too, without taking any shortcuts. Okay, so Can I give you numbers right now? I think if my lawyer heard me, he would shoot me. So I'm not going to go there. Yes. But I will say this. Sure. I'm very optimistic we can deliver something that everyone will be very pleased with. Okay, now, next thing. Other projects. Yes, this is an important picture that we're building. You know, this acquisition is really the foundation for what we're going to do next and next and next. Okay, so things like Karratha, people think, well, my gosh, you know, they haven't done much out of Karratha lately. Hey, hold on a minute. Okay, we're going to put a mechanical sorter out there, and we're going to actually do bulk sampling and testing the ability to upgrade material. Why? Because we think we can produce a concentrated Karratha that could easily be trucked over and then put through the same processing facility we've just acquired. Okay, so this is a big strategy. We're thinking big. There are a lot of other assets we have. Edgina, no, it's probably a standalone project. You know, you don't have to go out there, produce concentrates, and ship them to the mill. You're probably going to produce doré right on site if we get that thing going in the right trajectory. In other words, if things come together, that's not going to require an auxiliary mill such as this to be a critical component. All right, but what does Edgina benefit from? Well, the cash flow. Think about it. Okay, if we get solid cash flow coming out of the Beaton's Creek Nulligan operation, guess what we can do? We can fast track that, the work at Edgina now. That's a wonderful outcome. Okay, now other projects we have right in the vicinity of the East Pilbara, you know, in the vicinity of Nulligan, there's a number of projects that we're going to call, less advanced, but very, very, potentially a very high value. Okay, for example, Talga Talga is a system we've talked about a couple times in news releases over the past few years. It's a very high-grade orogenic system. And guess what? It's within trucking distance of Nulligan. Okay, so this is, in concept, we could mine high-grade, perhaps even mechanically sort it. You know, we'd look at that aspect too. But it's a situation where we could take a rock out of the ground and actually now get money out of that by taking it down to the mill. Okay, this is a good outcome. You know, we can fast-track these things. Things like Contact Creek, Convergent Creek, which are basically Beaton's Creek-type systems that are less explored. Now we can advance those. You know, perhaps mechanical sorting could be a component of upgrading those and also bringing those into the mill feed. You know, these are possibilities. There's even deposits in the immediate vicinity of Nulligan. Okay, this is within, a few kilometers of the mill. By the way, Beaton's Creek is only 10 kilometers drive from the mill. Okay, we know of deposits out near Bluespec, for example, that we've explored partially that we think will make great oxide, feed for this situation. So there's a lot of low-hanging fruit in our portfolio. We have 13,750 square kilometers across the Pilbara. We're going to unlock all that value, and it's going to start right here at Nulligan.
Well, it's really exciting, and it's good to – I think you're going to start gaining some attention again, because it seemed as though you were quiet. I kept up with what you were doing, of course, and it was very exciting, all of the things that are coming together here. And it is a very large system, as you pointed out, or systems that you're looking at. And it seemed, I've sort of looked at you in the last little while as being kind of like a company that has gone through its feasibility stage, not that you have, in the engineering stage. And that's the time when investors sort of get bored and they're not very interested. It's permitting and feasibility and it's studies and engineering and all that. You've been sort of doing that on a different path, no doubt, than most projects, because it's such a different project. But now you're ready to go towards that production stage. And with successful production, Quentin, I'm extremely optimistic, and I'm very thankful to you for sharing this information first on this show. I really appreciate that. It's really appreciated. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Jay. Look, I really appreciate the help and support you provided over the years. You know, a number of folks like yourself have been very supportive of the company. I'm very appreciative. There's, Corey Fleck, for example. I do quite a few interviews with him. Sure. It's a great way to get the message out to shareholders. And then there's this one guy, I think his name is Bob something or other. I can't quite remember. Bob...
I've heard of somebody named Bob Moriarty. That couldn't be who you're talking about.
Yes, of course.
Bob, well, anyway, we do have to go now. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for sharing this with our listeners. All right, folks. We'll argue back.